Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, April the 26th, 2024. 12 minutes past the hour, last Friday in the month of April. May Day coming up on Wednesday. Do we know what May Day is? No, we really don't. We've looked it up. It's a thing in Canada. Joined in studio tonight by Matt Morgan, and again this week by Mike Wilson. Glad to have him along for the ride. Now, this is going to be the moment of truth when we do the mic test here. Matt, let's see if it works.
How's it going?
I can hear you. Go ahead. No, don't speak up, Mike.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Nah, we can hear it. We can hear everybody tonight. Last week we had some problems with that, but tonight we're full steam ahead. No, that one's not going to work for you. So tonight is going to be an interesting night. By the way, the toll-free lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Good, play with the headphones again. Why do you do this? 740-383-9944. Matt, you've got a show coming up at 10:15 tonight. Big program. What is it?
So tonight at 10:15, I'm going to have Heidi Lee Morgan on. She is a Hall of Fame wrestler. She was inducted, this year, 2024.
But we still really don't know what Hall of Fame. Well, it's not the WWE Hall of Fame. I know this.
No, it is not.
So we don't really know what Hall of Fame she was inducted into.
Well, I mean, it says 2024 Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame. So I mean, I don't know where that is.
Where'd you get this information? Did she tell you this?
There was a picture on her Twitter with one of those rings. With the one of the Hall of Fame rings.
Well, see, I don't think that's right, though. Maybe it was Medusa's ring.
I mean, it could have been.
I don't know.
We'll find it out.
Well, see, but you shouldn't introduce her as a Hall of Famer if you don't know if she's a Hall of Famer.
She's a Hall of Famer.
Now, Mike, you went to the American School of Broadcasting, right?
Why, yes, I did, Scott.
Now, if you were going to introduce a guest to be on your program, if you did not know for sure if they were a Hall of Famer, would you intro them that way?
No, I'd have to make sure I had all my facts straight.
Yes, we got it. Rule number one at the American School of Broadcasting is make sure your facts are straight, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Am I interrupting your time over there on the cell phone?
I am looking up the Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame, which I found their site.
Okay.
And class of 2024. What's her name again?
Heidi Lee Morgan.
There's Afshin Rush Hannah Johnston.
Well, thank goodness we're getting this down. We're going to know who's in the Women Wrestling Hall of Fame class of 2024.
There's a Priscilla. There's Jacqueline.
Okay.
There is Rockin' Robin Smith.
It does seem to be separate from the WWE, though. It said it's founded in 2021.
Okay.
There we go.
A Hall of Fame's a Hall of Fame, I guess.
It is real. Heidi Lee Morgan?
Yes.
Here she is.
What was she in? She's in the what?
She's in the Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Okay. Where's that at?
I'll find out. She was born in 1966.
Like Interstate 37? Near a rest stop, where is the Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame?
I'll find out here in a minute. She's highly skilled gymnast and eventually a successful bodybuilder. She began a wrestling career winning teenage bodybuilding contest at age 16.
I saw her. I wouldn't have guessed that. Well, that's her?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Her.
Well, that's interesting.
Let me hold up to the mic so our listeners
can see. Yeah, so they can see that. Describe the picture to them, Mike. It's theater of the mind.
Well, she's a good-looking young lady. Young, because she's younger than me. She doesn't look that old at all.
Located in Brooksville, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's nearly 60.
Yeah, she is. But she doesn't look nearly 60.
Well, not in that picture. I don't think in that picture she's nearly 60.
Well, yes, I would say probably right. Why do we have so much dead air?
Because you're looking at your phone. For no apparent reason.
Well, we got to make sure I'm not lying to you here.
You were close.
I confirmed what he said.
So what did you learn at the American School of Broadcasting?
One of the big things was how to pronounce the letter W.
W.
Yes.
Yeah, not W.
It's not WWGH, yeah. It's W.
Yeah.
Bailey put it in big letters on the chalkboard. Chalkboard's an ancient thing we used to use, Matt, that had chalk before whiteboards. W, and then he asked everybody in the class, how do you pronounce that? So that was one of the big things.
Pearl Bailey did that?
Earl Bailey.
I was confused on why Pearl Bailey was teaching at the American School of Broadcasting. She was quite the singer, I know, in her day. I didn't realize she took up teaching broadcasting in her later years.
In the early days of Channel 28, WTTE, he was the newsman, the lone newsman on there.
Well, that's great to know.
Yeah.
Not impressive.
He had a very announcerish voice.
Yeah, but well, that's good he ended up in that profession then. But Pearl Bailey would have impressed me.
Well, Earl Bailey was also, I have pictures of him presenting me with my certificate when I graduated from the American School of Broadcasting.
Would anybody know who Earl Bailey is?
There are people in this town that wouldn't know who he was.
Okay, so anyway, do people know who Pearl Bailey is?
I know who Pearl Bailey is.
Tell people who Pearl, because I know Matt has no clue who Pearl Bailey is.
I don't know
who
either of these people are.
Nobody would know who Earl Bailey is.
She was an African-American singer back in the 50s and 60s, I think.
Don't Google. We can't take that again. Don't Google it. Just search Pearl Bailey at home if you want to know more about Pearl Bailey. And apparently, for some odd reason, she taught broadcasting at the American School of Broadcasting after all her hit songs were out. I don't know why she ended up there. Darn
it. Another thing that we learned down there was to always read your copy ahead of time.
Yeah, that's very important because you don't want to mispronounce the words and you want to know the names of the cities, not like Bucky Russ or Lebanon. I've heard people call Lebanon Lebanon.
Or Mount Gilead.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, whole problem. So what is the best bit of knowledge you learned at the American School of Broadcasting?
Lots of useless stuff, like how to pronounce all these conductors, songwriters from back in the 1700s.
Yeah, that is you. But I bet Pearl Bailey was big on that because she probably worked with a lot of those people. She didn't want you messing around with them. I still cannot believe you said Pearl Bailey.
I said Earl.
No,
Earl.
I don't think you did, but we'll replay the tape. Okay, in any event, what was the most important bit of information? Maybe you didn't hear the question. The most important bit of information you learned at the American School of Broadcasting?
Well, I guess the don't use a lot of us and os and, you know, speak plainly and
carry a big stick.
One of the most important was read your copy ahead of time.
Well, that is important.
Because there were times they didn't do that.
And people still get it wrong.
Yeah. And how to pronounce W. And it still drives me nuts when I hear somebody on the radio saying, W, blah, 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 blah.
Well, why does it matter?
See, you think it doesn't matter, but it does matter because you're supposed to be a professional. That's what separates the professionals from the non-professionals.
the W's?
Well, in a way, because, you know, most stations have call letters, unless you're on the West Coast, that have a W in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I did have, I was saying W, but it wasn't station call letters. It was when the internet came in and you had to do the WWW, and then you, WWW dot WW, you know, that got a little old. So you would shorten it up, W, you know, you would do that. And somebody came in and wrote on a piece of paper once, DUB hyphen YA, W. Don't say W.
Yep.
W.
That used to be a big thing in radio. Of course, I've only been in radio for since before you were born, 30-some years.
So Pearl Bailey's teachings paid off.
Well, Scott.
I like it. Now it's a gag. It's a gag.
Subject.
It's a gag. Oh, you want to get on to the subjects?
It scares me, but yeah, let's...
Are people too sensitive? That's the question for tonight. Are people too sensitive? Because, like, let's say somebody hypothetically went to the American School of Broadcasting and told you that Pearl Bailey was their teacher, and you continuously brought it up, and they got cheesed off about it, and they wanted you to get to the subjects. Are people just too darn sensitive? That's what I'm talking about.
Is that our topic right now?
Right now.
I think people are too sensitive.
I think they are too. I think they should just let it go. If Pearl Bailey was their teacher, shut up.
Pearl Bailey was not the teacher.
But it sounded like she was. Stick with it, Mike. It's more impressive. It's more impressive.
You
live
hit
with
a
the lie.
Sensitive chord.
Why is that a sensitive chord? You got something against Pearl Bailey?
Well, I'm sure Earl Bailey does.
Well, he's dead, too, so what difference does it make? Pearl Bailey's dead? Earl Bailey's dead? It's kind of a moot point.
Okay.
But are people too sensitive? My question, I think people are too sensitive nowadays. If you say something to somebody, if they want your opinion, or you even give them any type of constructive criticism, they don't like it. They don't really want to hear that sort of thing. So are people too sensitive?
Do you want a yes or no answer?
No, I want a talk show answer, which could go on for a long time.
We haven't heard from Matt.
No, he isn't going to speak at all tonight. He's waiting for that Heidi Lee Morgan interview later on.
You know, you're asking about the American School of Broadcasting.
Well, because I'm curious. But he never gave me a right answer. Read your copy. Okay, go ahead.
I think that people are too sensitive. It seems that people kind of take... I don't know. It seems like people kind of take everybody else's opinion for, like, you know, law sometimes. And then, let me rephrase. I think they kind of take it...
As the gospel.
Yes.
By the way, Pastor Craig's out there listening, and he says, yes, some of us do remember Earl Bailey of Channel 28.
Oh, well, good. Pastor Craig, good to hear from you.
I bet he remembers Pearl Bailey, too.
He probably does.
She was on all four channels back then. She got around. Okay, so you say people are too sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like a lot of the times, if people, you know, criticize something about you, that's what's the word? I guess aesthetics.
See, but I don't call it criticizing though. I think that you're going down a bad road there. Oh, I criticize it. Well, yes, they're going to be defensive.
If they make a comment.
Yes, like if I say, you know, I don't understand what you're saying. Now, that's not critical. I just don't understand. And you'll get defensive because you think that everybody should understand what you're saying.
I mean, if it doesn't make sense, I don't know what you want me to understand.
Well, my story was about somebody's writing. I was reading their writing, and I said, I don't understand this. And they said, well, you don't have to. It's not meant for you. And I said, but I'm reading it, so I'm just curious. What is it? I don't get it. And she said, well, it doesn't have a point. And I said, well, when I write things, they usually have a point. And then she took that as criticism, too. And then we didn't talk for 2 days because apparently I was too critical.
Well, lots of times now, if you say something that's against what that other person thinks or believes, then you're wrong. You're completely wrong. And... you can't be friends.
Well, see, I don't agree with that at all.
Well, I don't either, but that's how it works out.
Yeah, but why do we have to live that way? Why can't... I think we did this during a break today, not live on the air, but we had this discussion, I think, with Pastor Craig about why can't you hear somebody else's opinion that you completely disagree with and yet understand why they have that opinion and not work so hard to try to change their opinion and just say, listen, I understand where you're coming from. I don't agree with it, but I get why you feel that way. It's okay with me that you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Why do we always have to try to change people's minds? You can't.
I agree with
you. Are you awake?
I think you can
come in.
I think you can change people's minds.
No, I don't think you can in an argumentative way.
Very good point right there.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you do it in intelligent... It depends on how you present yourself.
Kind of almost through osmosis. Like if people are listening to you talk, they might pick up on what you're saying. But if you like get in their face with your finger and say, you better da 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 da, that ain't going to work. Because they're already on the defensive.
You're exactly right, Scott.
Thank you.
Next subject.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that nobody likes to be...
Hope you're not like this during the Heidi Lee Morgan interview, eating gushers and not speaking much.
Well, you know, I don't know. I worked today, I guess.
Took it out of you. Took the zip.
I think that, I mean, what were we talking about now? Brought up work.
No, remember earlier on this morning, the topic we started with Jessica, yeah, about how people just don't listen.
I was listening.
No, you weren't.
There was pain.
You,
yeah, I was paying.
Well, what were we talking about?
Well, I just asked you.
Because you weren't listening. We just talked about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So where were you in that 5 minutes?
I mean, eating gushers, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, look. I mean, I got the whole like, are people too sensitive thing.
And that's not what we were talking about. Mike brought up the point about, you ever seen a gusher? Mike brought up the point.
I haven't.
Mike brought up the point of, you can't change people's mind if you're forceful in changing their mind, but you might be able to do it if you do it in a kind way. It's going to be a long night.
I mean, I think nobody wants to be argued with, per se. So, I mean, I think if you go at it with aggression, I mean, that makes sense because they're not. I mean, like he said, they instantly go on, like, an offensive platform. I don't even think they're trying to listen to you at that point. I think they're trying to defend their point.
But should I have been made out to be an angry person or a mean person because I said to this person, I don't understand what you're writing about?
Did you not understand what was written, or did you not understand why?
I didn't get it. I didn't understand what the point was. I didn't understand why it was a writing. It was confusing. It was all over the place.
I don't think so, but I mean, I don't know, maybe she's just like jotting down her thoughts or something.
Maybe. But then, I mean, don't put it out there for people to read.
I do agree with that. I think if you're going to put it out there for people to read and then there's criticism, you can't be upset that there's criticism. You put it out there for everybody to read. Therefore, you have to expect criticism.
And I explained to her that I do 2 hours at least every morning, 5 days a week. And listen, they aren't all home runs. They can't be. You know, some are better than others. And you have to learn how to take criticism if you're going to put something out in the public. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, when I had a radio show, there were some that I almost wish had not been broadcast.
Now, to you, what made a bad show? Like, if you were in the middle of it, did you know while it was going on that this is a bad show?
Well, a couple things. Number one, if I wasn't prepared, if I didn't do the pre-show prep stuff, which sometimes I did not, or if it was just not a talkative person. And
oh, that's a killer.
You try to get things out of them, and then that's when you go to the stuff on the internet about whatever they're representing and start reading it.
Well, you know what's funny, though? Everybody thinks it's easy until they do it.
Right.
Then it's not. You know, if you watch somebody else do it and you think it's easy, then they're doing it right because it's really not an easy thing to do. And people screw up all the time.
They do?
They do. They do.
I don't.
They do. They
never do.
Especially when it's live.
It's funny you should say that at work now. If something gets screwed up or messed up, they say, hey, it got mic'd up. So,
oh, that's nice.
I do have a reputation.
Do you like that?
Oh, I'm not sensitive about it.
Really?
No.
Oh, so you're not too sensitive.
No.
Okay.
No, why would you think I'm too sensitive?
Well, no, sometimes I think maybe you've been sensitive about things.
I'm not sensitive.
Well, that's what doesn't sound that way. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Are people too sensitive? That is the question tonight. I happen to believe, but then there are some people who are not sensitive enough. They don't understand when they're being rude or obnoxious to other people.
I think they understand. I think they're just, sorry, I had to swallow. I think they might understand. I think they just might not care.
Really? That's how I feel about right now. I'm at that point in the program already.
Like I said earlier, I think it's your presentation. Some people.
My presentation?
No, it's your.
Oh, well, when you're better watch out. Person. You better be careful. Pearl Bailey ain't going to bail you out of this one.
Where was I going?
I don't know. It's about presentation. It's not your presentation.
It's how you talk to the person, how you present it.
Now, if you disagreed with somebody on an issue, how would you go about it?
I would say, okay, I understand what you're saying, but look at it. This is how I think. This is how I, you know, at least consider this. And in many cases, you're going to end up giving up. But, you know, at least you walk away not being having the other person upset with you.
Yeah, but isn't the internet a big problem here, too?
Yes.
Everybody believes everything on the internet, and it's a problem. It's a problem. And people are also, people tend to believe more what is, fits their belief. You know, if they read something that it fits what they already believe, it's the gospel. And it's not always that way. I always think you should read things that you disagree with more, and then you'll get a more rounded perspective on whatever you're looking at.
See, here's a problem with me. Usually I can see both sides of an issue, so I'll be sitting on the fence quite often. That's not comfortable.
Not if it's a picket fence.
That's a problem with me, is that I can see both sides of something for the most part. Sometimes some things I can't. But
now Matt claims that he likes to be argumentative.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
But it doesn't do anything. That's the point we've just made, and I don't understand why waste your time doing something.
Yeah, why waste your time doing that?
That
Matt?
Has no point.
It's not a waste of time if it's entertaining.
But entertaining for who?
Me.
I tried to start an argument here, and he doesn't go along.
Yeah, so see, there you go.
Hey, what are those gushers? They like got liquid inside of them, or
yeah.
I never had one.
They're tasty.
You want a gusher?
Yeah, I'll try one.
I'll give him a gusher for God's sake.
You know, I ate that entire pack, but you can.
Did
have,
you really?
Yeah, but you can have that. There you go.
All right, here we go. The gushers are coming out tonight. Phone lines are open here. 33 minutes past the hour. WGH Talk Time, 740-383-9944. I love it when you put stuff in front of the mic. 740-383-9944. Now, so the question is, on the whole, are people too sensitive? Don't throw your trash around here. This is some trash dump.
I mean, I think they are. I think that they, like I said earlier, I think that they take people's words too seriously. And they should probably not.
No. Thank you for asking, though. How do you feel about it, Mike? So they are or are they not too sensitive?
They are too sensitive.
Okay. So how do we get past that's the question. We've identified the problem. Now, how do we get past it?
I don't know that we will.
Ever?
I think if we picked on people more often, everybody would have thicker skin, therefore less people would be agitated.
Is that right? I don't think that's right. I don't think that made any sense at all, a matter of fact.
If we picked,
or do you like the gushers?
Oh, they're good.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoy them. We've introduced you to something new here tonight. I don't understand the whole concept, though. What did you say? If you picked on people more often, they'd have a thicker skin, and this is going to help us with the sensitive issue?
Yeah. I mean, if you have thick skin, you're not sensitive. That's kind of what
I don't think you understand where sensitivity comes from. Sensitivity is not from having thin skin. Sensitivity is because you take everything personally.
Yeah, because you don't have thick skin.
No. It's not thick skin. If you disagree with something, you just don't like it. This person clearly thought that their work had some meaning, and it just didn't for me. They could have thick, thin. It doesn't matter what kind of skin they have.
Could that person be listening to us?
Possible.
Okay. Ooh.
Well, probably not anymore after I've made these. What'd you do? What did you do?
I just got gushed.
What? You got gushed? You just come up with a whole new term there? First time you've ever had gushers, and now all of a sudden you think you just can create words. I'll tell you what. If Pearl Bailey were still alive, that late teacher from the American School of Broadcasting had heard you making up words on the air like this, she would say, she'd take out her stick and bash you right atop the head. Gushed? What does that mean? What do you mean you got gushed?
I bit into one of these gushers.
Yes.
Gushed.
Well, that's why they call them gushers. What do you think they call them gushers?
Well, I didn't know.
Because they gush in your mouth. Oh,
okay.
You got gushed.
Can I get serious about the...
Please do.
Sensitivity thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I was in school...
Okay.
I was teased...
About?
About lots of things. Just anything. I was just like the whipping boy of Mount Gilead schools. And there's something to what Matt said a little bit ago that really struck a chord with me. I was depressed because the way the other kids treated me. But
when did he say that?
I mean, I said that if you pick
thick skin.
Thick skin. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, stay with us here.
I know he didn't say anything about school. I was confused. But, so he didn't say that.
Okay, I'm telling a story here.
Your interpretation.
Okay.
Don't get gushed.
But as I got older, I realized I got thicker skin.
Uh-huh.
I realized that that's the way the people related to me, is by teasing me and so on. And I went with it. And what you said about thicker skin, I don't know if you were serious or not, but it really struck a chord with me because my skin got thicker.
Well, growing up, I was a bigger kid, you know? And,
okay.
You know, you get picked on for that. And, I mean, I think that...
What's those names they called you? Run those down again.
All right. So, we got...
This is good.
Oh, well, turns out I actually asked the friend who gave me the nickname of Marshmallow, and she said it had nothing to do with my weight. She said...
What was it?
I was super pale and had fluffy hair.
Oh.
And I still have the fluffy hair, and I'm still
okay,
super
go ahead.
Pale. But anyway...
Marshmallow.
So, I got Marshmallow. I got Fatty Maddie.
Fatty Maddie.
Okay. I got Maddie Moo Moo.
Okay.
I'm sure there's more if I could think, but that's all I can think of off the top
okay.
of my head.
Okay, so you were this thickened your skin up?
I mean, I'd assume so. It never really bothered me. And if it did bother me, I don't remember it bothering me, so it definitely didn't make that much of an impression on me.
It doesn't sound to me, though, Mike, like you're thin. Your skin got thicker. It sounds like as you got older, you got more mature and had a better understanding of why they were doing it.
Gee, Scott, you always have to take things and
to the correct level.
To the correct level.
Well, I mean, that's what you said. I didn't understand what that had to do with thick skin. That's why I was confused.
Well, I think if nobody picked on him when he was growing up, maybe he wouldn't have made that realization.
Right.
Exactly.
I agree. Yeah, but if nobody picked on you, what would you have had to analyze anyway?
I'm going
to
get gushed again. Hold on.
I don't understand the whole thing, though. I mean, thick skin to me has no point here. You either realize why they did it as you mature, or you don't.
Well, you're saying the same thing, but with different words.
No, because I believe if somebody attacked you today for something different and somebody who you didn't go to school with, you're probably not like that. So your skin is not thicker. It's just you have a better understanding of why those kids were doing it.
Okay. We're not talking about physically thick or thinness
of skin.
I
understand, yes.
We're talking metaphorically.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think. I think it's just understanding. I think people have a better understanding and they mature. But you can still hurt people if you want to. You know what buttons to push with certain people.
And there are things that I am sensitive about.
There you go. So, but if you have this thick skin, why does it matter?
Well, this is why you are the great interviewer.
The great interviewer. That's right. Because I have to get through the garbage.
Oh, fine. Now you're talking. You're saying that what I'm saying is garbage.
You're a little sensitive.
Okay, I'm leaving now.
Whip that thick skin
bye
up.
Bye, Scott. Bye, Matt.
No, we've given you gushers. It's all right. But you know what I'm saying? Isn't that the truth, though? It's not thick or thin skin. It's just an understanding.
And you know what? We could have more understanding in this world.
I'm good for understanding. I just don't understand what teasing somebody relentlessly to build up their skin, how that's going to help.
Once upon a time, we were able to agree to disagree.
Not anymore.
It seems like we've gotten away from that.
We threw that right out the window.
And politics is a big one.
Politics is the biggest one.
No, I don't care which side of the fence
politics
you're on.
Politics is good. Love politics.
Yeah, you...
Was that a sentence? What was that? Were you going to say something there? It sounded almost like you had a sentence to complete.
I lost everything in my headphones.
Okay. Well, you're still on the air, so go right ahead. Go ahead and finish that sentence.
I don't know what I was saying.
You want to turn that breath into a thought?
I don't know. I don't know what I was saying. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't know.
Earl Bailey would not be proud of me.
Or Norwood Pearl Bailey. Okay, people are too sensitive and we really don't know how to fix the problem.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, now here's a quote. Now, we didn't get to this at all earlier, and I'm sad, but I heard this quote this week, and I think it's a great quote because I think we can apply this to many things. Mediocre people are always at their best. I think that is a great metaphor. I think it's a great quote for life. I think it says everything. Think about that. Mediocre people are always at their best.
If they're happy to be mediocre, they're not going to work to get beyond that. That's what it's saying.
What?
If they are happy with mediocre.
But I don't think they think they're mediocre. Nobody thinks they're mediocre. If you are you mediocre? You're not going to say yes. So, okay. I don't know. No, I think what this said is, it says is that if you're mediocre, you are never going to try to be better.
And that's what I just said, Scott.
I don't think it was, but okay. I think you better read the copy before you come in here next time. Jump in here anytime you like.
I mean, I don't even really got much to say about this one.
What do you think? Mediocre people are always at their best.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they don't try any more than
you can't fail if you're mediocre. But you also can't succeed. That's what it really says.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, mediocrity is kind of, you know, like it's like a neutral state in terms of work ethic.
Yes, but 90% of people are mediocre. They just don't know it.
It happens, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it happens a lot. I mean, what percentage of people would you say in society are mediocre?
The same ones that are oversensitive.
90%. 90%. I think because most people are not exceptional one way or the other. They're just mediocre. Agree or disagree? Do you think most people achieve what they want to achieve? Do you think most people get where they want to get? Do you think most people are really trying as hard as they can try?
I think that most people have a dream, but then they end up getting a job and they realize that this job is the, you know, safer option. You know, because I mean, you're already there. I mean, you're already doing what you're doing. I mean, the longer you stay there, the more you're going to make because promotions and whatnot. So, like, that kind of thing. I think the
right,
people kind of
right, but money should never be the driver.
I think that people kind of give up on their dreams in exchange for comfort.
And that's why mediocre people, if you aren't willing to put the extra mile in, you're never going to be a success. And I would hate to, you know, I don't mind being a failure, but I would hate to have never tried. I would hate to be mediocre. I don't mind. Success is great. If you're going to fail, fine. I say fail big.
It's like that Wayne Gretzky quote, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you never take.
There you go. So Wayne Gretzky turned out to be a success, but he could have been a huge failure, but he wasn't going to be mediocre. He wasn't just going to play the game.
As a matter of fact, he turned out to be, I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I think he's like, you know, one of the best of all time in hockey.
But do you think any success in life ever got in and said, you know, I'm just going to play?
No.
I'm going to play to win. I might lose, but I'm going to lose big.
How do you lose big?
Well, you can lose big. You know, you can go in and thinking you're going to win, and you're favored, and you've got the odds, and it's going to be that way, and you just lose. And that's losing big and in front of everybody. But at least you tried. You got in the game.
It happens.
It does, but failure is not pleasant, and that's why most people spend their life being mediocre, because they're fearful of the failure. And it's easier, you know, the easiest thing in the world to be is a critic. You can criticize other people, but what have you done? That's my question. To anybody criticizing somebody else, maybe your criticisms are valid, but what have you done? What have you done that makes you some expert on that other person? That's why I don't like arguments. Because who are you to criticize somebody? Who are you to sit in judgment? What have you done that gives you that authority?
It's fun. Do it for the entertainment factor.
I understand there's some entertainment factor here, but what I'm saying is, really, what is the point of criticizing somebody else?
I mean, I guess it depends on who you're criticizing.
Mike, jump in.
Well, quite often it's to make yourself look better.
Yeah, there you go. Like the bullies at school.
There's no reason.
T- takes the attention off of them.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking more in the way of, like, if a content creator or director of some kind gets criticism, it's going to likely be, criticism about the movie or whatever they've made, right? But I think that that's good because, it gives them a base of what the fan base, the clientele, the market likes.
Yeah, but you know how many times I've stood up in front of an audience and the audience is there and you're ready to go and you've told people you were going to be there. You could screw it up.
Well, yeah, you can screw it up. You can screw up everything.
Right, but if you stay home, you're not going to screw it up. You're not going to succeed, but you're not going to screw it up either. You're going to be mediocre.
Exactly. And that's actually what I said when we started this conversation.
Really? Well, then I'm glad I repeated it. Because I'm sure most people probably forgot it by this point. So I'm glad I roundabouted it for everybody. And again, if anybody wants to get in on the conversation, we would allow it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I don't believe people should live in mediocrity. I think that's a sad place to be.
No, I think it's better to live in Marion or Mount Gilead.
There you go, to that too. So now, Matt, do you think it's a good place? What are you doing?
Candace sent me a message. She said, no, they didn't. That was all.
Oh, no, they didn't. Well, at least we know where she's at. I think it's all fascinating in the end, to be honest with you, because I think that people should strive to be better. I don't think they do. I think they just do what they do.
It's safer that way.
It is safer, but it's not... You don't learn anything.
Exactly.
And that's a tragedy. Can you imagine living all your life never getting on the tightrope? Never taking the high wire?
How do we get to the circus?
You know, somebody was asking me the other day, do people still go to the circus? I don't think they do.
I don't think people go to the circus anymore. We give out free tickets, and as do just about everywhere else. And
right.
They're always, chock full of tickets.
I'll tell you what people do go to, and that's the WWE. We were just there Monday night, and they filled the Schottenstein Center on a Monday night.
And you know what?
Yes.
Those wrestlers weren't mediocre.
No, and there you go. People who have to get on live television, they have to put it out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, they made it to the biggest scale. I would hope you're not mediocre if you made it to the biggest scale. I mean, I guess you can be mediocre on scale to being the biggest.
This is the difference to me between a job and a career, is mediocrity. A job is something you go to every day, and you do kind of the same thing every day, and that's a job. You go home, okay. You don't really put anything into it. A career is something you have to work at, and you have to work to be good at it, and you have to work to stay in it. That's a career. Few people have careers. Most people have jobs.
True.
Yes. I think, and that's a big part of this.
I think if you looked up the definition of career, it would disagree.
I don't think I'm talking about definitions.
Definitions are, what the word means.
I think I'm speaking of what I think. That's what this show's about, opinions.
Everybody's got one, just there. Like...
And Mike agreed with my opinion. True or false?
I
You did.
I do agree with your opinion.
Okay,
yes.
Now why do you feel that way?
Oh, I knew that there would be more questions.
Well, that's how a talk show works.
Okay. I thought I already expressed this, but...
No, a career versus a job.
Oh, career versus a job. Okay, I see.
Yes.
Well, career, you put more into it. So that you are going where you want to be.
Right, and it takes work.
Most people that are just in a job, they're there just because it's how they make money or whatever.
9 to 5.
Working, yeah.
Yeah.
What a way to make a living.
Like Dolly Parton says.
Good song.
You know who I... See, Matt likes country music. When we went to New York a few weeks ago, I had to sit in a car for 2.5 hours and listen to country music. Listen, and the other night you put on country music too.
You could have asked me to change it. I have all kinds. I have rap music. I have rock music. I have country music. I have a little bit of jazz music.
Why did we have to? There were three of us in the car. Why did we have to listen?
You could have told me to change the genre. There's genres galore there.
Mike, when you're in a car with two other people, what are you going to do?
You should turn the radio off and talk.
There you go.
No, I like music. Can't go without
And then
music.
They kept trying to... she was asleep. I don't know where she was. She was doing something else. I didn't hear her voice the entire trip. But you kept trying to talk over the music.
I like music.
Yeah, but why? You're talking over it.
But I'm listening to it when I'm not talking.
I don't think you are. You can't listen and talk at the same time. That's one of my favorite quotes, by the way, in talk radio. I never learned anything when I was talking.
I graduated school, and I'm pretty sure I talked through all my classes.
So you must not have learned much. When you're talking, you are not listening, so you cannot pick up anything. And when you're talking, you're just telling us what you know, so you can't learn anything.
So how am I passing the classes without paying attention?
Doing the homework.
I never did homework either. All my grades came from tests.
Okay. Well, it must have been a bad school.
Well, 75% of the grades came from tests.
I can't speak to it. I wasn't your teacher.
Sounds to me
so what'd you just do? Get the answers through osmosis? You didn't pay attention in class?
It seems that way for me.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what do you think? You think that works that way?
For some people, it seems to.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't.
No. You picked up the information somewhere.
Well, if I wasn't paying attention, where would I?
I didn't say you weren't paying attention. You said you weren't paying attention.
Well, yeah, that's what
but
I said.
But I find
if
it
I
hard
wasn't
to believe
attention.
That you talked continuously for 50 minutes every day of class. Period.
Teachers used to just move my seat.
We started this program where you weren't talking at all, and you had no idea what we were talking about. So I know you're not picking things up by osmosis.
Well, we're not in school.
Like the building changes that? So if we were doing this show from a school, you would have picked up right on that.
Maybe.
I don't think the walls have anything to do with it at all. So I guess the end result here is, why do people get caught in mediocrity?
Because it's comfortable.
I agree with that.
Is it comfortable?
It is, okay. Because...
I think it's a lot easier to, you know, wake up and go to work and get off of work and go home and do that for the rest of your life than it is to get up and go, you know, I don't know, find another interview per se or, you know, do something
That's
like
tough.
That.
Yeah.
So I think it's more comfortable.
But why do you only get one life, my understanding.
Well, you might get more. Who knows?
Well, but you don't know. That's the point.
Well, you can't say you only get one. You don't know.
Well, you don't know either, so I think I can. If you prove me wrong, then I'm going to have to go with that.
My point's just as valid, then.
Not really. Can you prove that you get more than one?
Can you prove that you get only one?
Yes.
No, you can't.
Mike, how many lives have you had?
Well, this is the only one I remember.
There you go. Checkmate. Checkmate.
There was that time I was an armadillo in Texas, but that was...
You know, reincarnation is always very strange to me when people talk about that. Why would you want to come back as like a dog or a cat or a llama?
I don't know. It's my understanding that the people that believe that don't think you have a choice of what you come back as.
Really? You don't have a choice?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I think you just kind of, you know...
Come back?
Die and then come back as whatever you come back
morph
as.
Morph into whatever.
Yep.
As soon as you die?
I don't know.
Do you know that you were a person?
No.
Oh, well then what's the point? Who cares? That just sounds ridiculous.
I mean, there are, supposed stories of people who remember past lives.
But that could be delusional.
Yeah, but usually it's small children, and they'll get details that most people won't know unless you're, like, close to the family or, you know, the dead person.
So what? Why do they forget it when they get older?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard any ghost stories? Because I don't believe in ghosts either.
Why are people less creative when they graduate or when they go to... why are people more creative when they go to school versus when they graduate school?
Well, I don't know that that's true with everybody.
I'd say the majority.
You think more? You think people are more creative in school than they are when they're out of school?
No, I think they're more creative when they go, like when they go into school, as in like children.
Uh huh.
And then when they graduate, as you know, somewhere along the line, their creativity's killed.
Now, who says that?
Matt.
Yeah, I don't understand that. What's that based on? Like, I know a lot of kids who pick up their creativity in school. That's where they learn the sport that they're good at, or they learn the career they want to get into. I think people have more hope in school than at any other time in their life. I think after school crushes them, and I think before school, they're very, very young.
Who's getting crushed after school?
Most people who go to work in jobs.
I work a job.
Right, and that's they have no... They're kind of just spinning their wheels the rest... They're mediocre. They're living in mediocrity all their life. Now, again, they don't know that. And you can't tell them that they're mediocre, but just the way it is.
I think you need to tell them the phone number again, because we need people to chime in on this.
Well, they just don't have anything to say about this. They know I'm right. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Wow.
I know I never got an Orange Julius today. Do you know the only place in Marion that you can get a true Orange Julius?
I don't know.
Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen?
Dairy Queen.
I don't even know what an Orange Julius
See,
is.
Nobody knows.
Everybody loves
Nobody knows,
Julius.
Scott.
It's like a smoothie.
You've told three people, and three people said don't even know what that is.
Because three people didn't know, nobody knows?
Yeah, three of three that you've asked, those are pretty good odds.
Well, they weren't the brightest bulbs
in
the world.
I'm going to say that more people...
Excuse me?
I'm going to say that less people know about it than know
Who
about
did
it.
I ask today?
Me, Mike... And Jess this
Oh,
morning.
There you go. Look at that.
And maybe Pastor Craig?
No, Pastor Craig knew what an Orange Julius was.
I don't know.
He's a traveled man.
Traveled people don't know what things are sometimes. It happens.
Okay, I'm going to do the interviewer thing here.
Go ahead.
Describe to us exactly what an Orange Julius is.
An Orange Julius is an orange drink that is kind of like a smoothie. It was created in California in 1926, and it's very popular. Oh, the phone's ringing just before we have to go to break. That's a good time for it. Go ahead, caller.
I've probably heard the term Orange Julius more today than I have ever in my life.
Because everybody you work with wanted an Orange Julius.
Yes, and I know what an Orange Julius is,
Thank
Scott.
You, thank you. So what do you think about these dim bulbs today who had no idea what an Orange Julius was?
They don't know what they're missing.
They don't know. Now, how would you describe an Orange Julius?
It's a refreshing a beverage of orange goodness.
Did you know the only place in Marion you could get an Orange Julius?
I didn't until you said that.
That's why I'm here.
I used to just get them at the mall when they would be in the malls.
Now, how do you feel about mediocrity?
We talked about that, Scott. Mediocrity. most people are mediocre. They don't fulfill their promise, and yeah.
Do you believe this whole theory that Matt laid on us that you're less creative when you get out of school, or what did you say?
More creative entering school than you are leaving school.
Oh yeah, that load of whatever. What do you think about that?
I think life beats people down. I think that you...
Yeah, I understand that tonight.
This illusion that you, you know, have all this opportunity and promise, and then you quickly come to realize, like, when you get out of college, you're like, man, I got all this debt, and I'm working in McDonald's. Oh, so much for promise. So I guess I'm mediocre.
You know, but I think I've hit my stride now, so I don't know. You know, I think some people are that way, and some people not.
You're bucking the trend.
That darn
you're like
right.
Benjamin, you're like Benjamin Button.
Yeah, I think about that every morning. I think I'm just like Benjamin Button. I think that's what I say. That's what I say as I get up every morning.
Does he like Orange Julius?
He certainly does. Hey, did you know, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the program, but did you know Mike's instructor at the American School of Broadcasting was Pearl Bailey?
Earl.
Hey, Pearl Bailey, do you know... What role? One of the best movie roles for Pearl Bailey was.
What was that? I bet she played a maid.
No, Fox and the Hound.
Oh, but did you see those movies where she played the maid?
Yeah. Yeah, she was good. I was aware of that.
She was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she got a job at the American School of Broadcasting, God bless her heart.
And she taught Mike.
She taught Mike everything he knows. Read your copy before you go on the air, and they never had an Orange Julius in their life.
How to pronounce W.
Jeez. W-W. There you go. I know. Hey, caller, stay with us. We're coming back after this short but important break here on WGH Talk. Go get yourself some cheese dip and an Orange Julius, for God's sake. And don't gush yourself. We'll be back.
Attack me every time I open my mouth. I like that. And I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. CRT Mechanicals. Address,